Arise, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Monday, the 27th of January. Let's begin together in prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, you shield us from harm. Teach us to protect goodness in ourselves and in others. You guard us against stumbling and help us against falling. Strengthen our reliance on you in every temptation. You are the shelter of all those who are in need. Make us a shelter to all who call upon our help. O God of glory, you are our shelter against the burning heat of the day and the storms of life. Help us when we stumble, catch us when we fall, and guide our steps firmly in faith toward the promise of eternal life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I know that prayer referenced the burning heat of the day. I doubt many of you will be facing that this morning. It is the Sunrise Morning Show. Thank you for being with us on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lockman is at the controls. And up this hour, we'll take a look at This Week in Catholic History with Kevin Schmiesing. Ken Craycraft, coming off of the March for Life, will talk about why he thinks that respect life is too broad and vague of a term, and why we need to know exactly what we're saying when we use a phrase like that. Father Frank Donio has been doing a series with us on the art of accompaniment. So today we'll be talking about what to do if you're the one who's being accompanied. And Bear Wozniak is going to talk about standing up for your faith in difficult times. So stay with us if you can. Right now it is 2 minutes past the hour. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Prayers and remembrances have been pouring in since news broke yesterday that NBA legend Kobe Bryant and his daughter were among those killed in a helicopter crash yesterday. The Archbishop of Los Angeles said he's praying for Bryant's family. Following the death of Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, Archbishop Jose Gomez offered prayers and condolences. On Twitter, Archbishop Gomez said he was sad to hear the news of Bryant's tragic death and that he's praying for Bryant, the legend, and his family. Gomez added that Blessed Mother Mary will bring comfort to Bryant's loved ones. Kobe Bryant was a practicing Catholic who credited a priest for saving his marriage. The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump resumes today. Mark Mayfield reports.
Lawyers for the president will continue opening statements that they started on Saturday. White House counsel Pat Cipollone argued that the president did absolutely nothing wrong. He said Democratic House managers did not make a case for removing Trump from office. Cipollone also accused Democrats of trying to interfere in this year's presidential election. Cipollone called it the most massive interference in an election in American history. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Medical experts are sounding the alarm about the coronavirus in China, saying tens of thousands of people are likely infected with the potentially deadly virus, and governments need to take drastic measures to contain its spread. That from medical experts at the University of Hong Kong, who said that the number of cases is likely far higher than what's been reported so far. Officials have confirmed more than 2,700 cases of the virus, but the doctors say 44,000 people have probably been infected in Wuhan alone. That's the Chinese region where the outbreak began. The experts estimate that the number of infections is doubling every 6 days. Meanwhile, Pope Francis yesterday prayed for all those affected by the coronavirus. During his Angelus address yesterday, the Holy Father said, quote, "May the Lord welcome the dead into his peace, comfort families, and sustain the great commitment by the Chinese community that has already been put in place to combat the epidemic," end quote. Pope Francis also yesterday celebrated Mass in St. Peter's Basilica for the first ever Sunday of the Word of God, which he declared in a recent motu proprio to be celebrated on the third Sunday of ordinary time each year. In his homily at Mass, the Holy Father invited the faithful to make room in your lives for the Word of God. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
Il Signore ti dona la sua parola perché tu la colga come la lettera di amore.
The word of God, he said, should be read daily and kept at hand. even on your cell phones.
Visualizziamolo sul cellulare. Lasciamo che ogni giorno ci ispiri.
He reminded the faithful that to follow Jesus, mere good words are not enough. And he said that we have to listen daily to his call.
Per seguire Gesù non bastano i buoni impegni. Occorre ascoltare ogni giorno la sua chiamata.
He who alone knows us and loves us fully, he said, leads us to put out into the deep of life. And he explained that that's why we need his word, so that we can hear, amid the thousands of other words in our daily lives, that one word that speaks to us, not about things, but about life.
Quella sola parola che non ci parla di cose, ma ci parla di vita.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
World leaders are in Poland today to mark the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp by troops. More than 1 million people died in the camp's gas chambers or from starvation, cold, and disease. Auschwitz became the largest of the extermination centers where Adolf Hitler's final solution of killing Jews was put in action during World War II. Aging Holocaust survivors are also taking part in commemoration events. Vatican News reports that Pope Francis commemorated the anniversary yesterday in his Angelus address when he said, quote, "We are all invited to set aside a moment of prayer and recollection, saying in our hearts, never again," end quote. And the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs are in Miami now for Super Bowl 54. This is the Chiefs' first Super Bowl in 50 years since Kansas City drubbed Minnesota back in Super Bowl IV. The 49ers are in the big game for the first time since 2012 and last won back in 1994, when this year would be the sixth for the Niners and would tie them with the Steelers and Patriots for the most ever. You got a prediction yet, Matt? Have you made a decision?
You know that I can't say this on the air.
I know. Our boss is from Kansas City.
Our boss is, and anytime you mention the Chiefs around our boss, Bill Levitt, he says, "You mean the world champion Kansas City Chiefs?"
No, he can't say that. It's been 50 years.
I know.
Was talking about the Royals, who have won a championship more recently.
He always says the world champion Kansas City Chiefs because he's trading on that early title.
Well, he was alive for Super Bowl IV, so I hope he's listening right now.
All right, well, you know. Pabst Blue Ribbon is still trading on some championship they won however long ago.
That's true. I mean, at least they have a Super Bowl win. Like, we don't even have that here in Cincinnati.
The Bengals
so,
are,
you know.
And we, you know what? And we lost to the 49ers. So, you know, go Chiefs. Go Chiefs.
I love it.
It's 8 minutes past the hour. It's time for a look at this week in Catholic history. And here to do that with us is Kevin Schmiesing. He teaches at the Athenaeum and also works with the Acton Institute. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Matt. Good morning.
So our first piece of Catholic history involves the interesting travels of the relics of St. Mark.
Right. Well, at the heart of the modern city of Venice is the Piazza San Marco, and in it stands the Basilica of St. Mark. And the Basilica of St. Mark houses the relics of St. Mark, and they arrived in Venice this week, way back in 828. For several centuries during the Middle Ages, Venice was a major power in Europe, a center of finance and trade, but back in the early 9th century, it was just beginning its rise. Meanwhile, by tradition, the evangelist Mark was the founder of the church in Alexandria, which was a center of Christianity in the early centuries of the church. But by the end of the 7th century, it, like most of North Africa, had become Muslim. And so in the early 9th century, two merchants from Venice were worshiping at the site of St. Mark's relics, its shrine in Alexandria. And they were warned by two monks, two of the caretakers of the shrine, that the remains of the saint were in danger because Muslims were plundering and destroying Christian churches. So the merchants offered to take the relics back to Venice for safekeeping. Now, one of the many uncertainties in this story is whether at that point the relics were given over to them voluntarily or whether they were, as is often alleged, essentially stolen from Alexandria. In any case, accompanied by miracles, the merchants made their way through Christians guarding the tomb, through Muslims guarding the border, through a stormy sea, and arrived at port in Venice this week, January 31st, 828. A church was built immediately to house St. Mark's remains, but they were lost when that church was burned down during a civil war in the late 900s. The magnificent basilica we see today was constructed in the 11th century. The relics were rediscovered at that time. The basilica is now the cathedral church for the Patriarch of Venice. Its prized possession remains, of course, the relics of St. Mark, the patron of the city of Venice. Those relics were welcomed to Venice this week in 828.
We also got a little Minnesota Catholic history this week.
The first bishop of St. Paul, Minnesota was consecrated January 26, 1851. We've spoken on many occasions, Matt, about the many contributions made by French missionaries, priests, and bishops to the American church. Many of those were exiles from the French Revolution, but this one came a little bit later. Joseph Creighton was born in eastern France in 1799. He studied with the Sulpicians in Paris, was ordained a priest in 1823, and he was working as a parish priest in his home diocese when Matthias Loras arrived in 1838. Loras had just become bishop of a new diocese, Dubuque, in Iowa, and he was gathering priests to serve in the expanding American Midwest. Creighton had been considering a missionary calling, so he saw Loras' invitation as providential. He went to the United States, became Vicar General of Dubuque in 1839, served there for 10 years, and in the meantime, the church in Minnesota had begun to grow. There were a few Catholic settlers as well as some Indian converts. They were served by the pioneering Jesuit, Augustin Raveau. Raveau was yet another Frenchman. In fact, he had come over in the same recruiting class as Joseph Creighton with Bishop Loras. In 1850, St. Paul was made a diocese. Creighton was named its first bishop. Like Loras, he began his episcopacy with a tour of France, seeking financial support and vocations, and so he was consecrated as a bishop there in France. This week, January 26, 1851, he returned to the United States, took possession of his cathedral, which was a small log church. It served a Catholic population of maybe 1,000. The new bishop started building a new cathedral. He encouraged Catholic immigration. By the time of his death, which was just 6 years later, in 1857, there were 29 churches and 50,000 Catholics. St. Paul was on its way, becoming the major archdiocese it is today. Its first bishop, Joseph Creighton, consecrated this week in 1851.
So some great things to note for our listeners in Minnesota this morning. Good morning to all of you, however you happen to be listening. Thanks for a look at This Week in Catholic History, Kevin. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, time for meteorology and geography on the Sunrise Morning Show at 12 minutes past the hour. Rain will fall along Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida's Gulf Coast, as well as the Tennessee Valley. Great Lakes effect, lake effect snow in the Great Lakes will push into northern New England, but the heaviest snow will be localized. The plains and Mississippi Valley will see a quiet day with clouds building towards the afternoon and evening. A wintry mix will leave the Cascades, Great Basin, and northern and central Rockies under a fresh blanket of snow, while the Washington and Oregon coast and foothills will see rain. Parts of the southwest and southern Rockies, including the Four Corners, will also see scattered rain and snow showers. Got headlines coming up right after the break. It's 13 minutes past the hour. I'm Matt Swaim, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective, while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. solidarityhealthshare.org.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
Quarter past the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump resumes in the Senate today. Pope Francis today is commemorating the anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp. And after news broke of NBA great Kobe Bryant's death in a helicopter crash, Catholics on the West Coast have been telling stories of seeing him at Mass.
Yeah, there are a few of those out there, and I want to make sure that we share a few of them on social media, including people who, you know, were at daily Mass with Kobe. And, I mean, can you imagine just being in the pew, and there goes
Kobe Bryant.
One of the most legendary basketball players in history. You know, I'm thinking about this. He played in the NBA for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was a professional basketball player for literally half of my life, more than half of yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wild.
It is wild.
I found out about it as I was taking my son to the batting cages yesterday, and you know, I told him, I was like, listen, Kobe was not the most naturally gifted player in the world, but the one thing that everybody knew about him was that he was going to apply himself as hard as he could. He was mm-hmm. known as the hardest worker everywhere he played, and including on the Olympic team. So where he won 2 gold medals. So
right, I mean, as an athlete, the remembrances that I was hearing, I was watching college basketball games when the news broke, and so all kinds of basketball people were reacting to the news as it was first coming in, and they were talking about how, as an athlete, how he made other athletes, his opponents and his teammates, both better players. And I think that that's something, a lesson that we can learn in life. I mean, to always seek to make those around us better, because we know then that they can make us better as well. But I mean, man, when I started looking around the internet at stories and seeing the ones about how a priest helped him and his wife reconcile their marriage after that awful episode that he dealt with allegations of sexual assault, and getting through that, and then
he was from LA. A lot of people would not have said, you know what, we're going to save this marriage.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, Will and I, my husband and I, were talking about this yesterday, that it's almost like, in this day and age, you almost have to be a committed Catholic in order to even attempt to save a marriage anymore. Like, if you're following the standards of this world, you just give up on marriage anymore. I mean, that's not the case for everybody, but it just goes to show how much faith can play into this. And then it was just kind of fun reading the stories too about people who happened to see him at Mass, and it got me
including people who you know reported seeing him at Mass yesterday morning. So, I mean, this is the thing that, you know, we want to remember. I mean, when we go to Mass, not everybody in the pew with us, and sometimes not even ourselves, are in the proper state of grace that we need to be. We're not, you know, the most amazing, holiest people who ever lived. But guess what? We're all humbling ourselves and going up and receiving Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't feel the difference that makes, but it makes a difference. And I just pray that, you know, Christ and Kobe and you know, Kobe's daughter Gianna, you know, are in closer union now than they've ever been. And with all the souls of the faithful departed, I mean, we always have to remember, you know, to pray for the repose of those who have gone on before us, mm-hmm. and to remember that, you know, even as we're remembering Kobe, to remember to pray for his soul and the soul of his. Most definitely.
And for all those who have died, you know, I mean, I think about this. We focus and start talking a lot when someone famous dies, but there are people in our own families who die every day. There are probably listeners listening right now who are dealing with the recent death of a family member or a good friend.
There's probably someone listening right now who will die today.
And we need to remember to pray for all of the souls of the faithfully departed.
Yeah.
Every day.
And remember,
the prayers,
you know,
are so powerful for them.
This life is a gift, but it ain't that long.
Oh, not at all.
So again, just prayers again for Kobe and his family and the families of the people who were killed in that crash with him and the repose of their souls as well. Yeah. It's wild. As Paul and Lachman and I were talking during the break, we're still in the "is this real" phase.
Mm-hmm.
Of it.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wild. May the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God
rest in peace. Amen.
Up next on the Sunrise Morning Show, Ken Craycraft will join us. Craycraft Law also teaches at the Athenaeum of Ohio, talking about respect life. Stay with us as the Sunrise Morning Show continues. It's 21 past. Lent is coming up, and if you're thinking about giving up coffee, now's the time to treat yourself to some excellent brews from the Mystic Monks.
And by clicking the Mystic Monk link through sunrisemorningshow.com, you can help support the show by earning us a commission.
While you're thinking about it, you could stock up on tea to help you get through Lent without coffee.
And you can also get yourself a Sunrise Morning Show mug or etched travel mug, among other swag available in the online store.
Get the swag and link to Mystic Monk coffee through sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. Family values is a phrase we are all very familiar with. Of course, the early church had family values, too. We can see this from Acts of the Apostles, where we actually meet several generations of a family that Luke held in high esteem. Timothy worked by Paul's side for a long time, joining the apostle during the second missionary journey to Asia Minor. Timothy's family, at least the women in his family, were also Christian and apparently well known in the early church. Paul preserves their names for us. Timothy's mother was Eunice, and his grandmother was Lois. We get no further description of Eunice and Lois, but we do get to see them through their son and grandson. Timothy's dedication to the church, his unrelenting work for the truth, his preaching of the gospel, and his love of the Lord. So although we cannot see Eunice and Lois physically, we can see them faith-wise through their son. What a beautiful example of family values. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
Sunrise Morning Show legal and political analyst Ken Craycraft is back with us now. He's a professor at Mount St. Mary's Seminary. He's a columnist for the Catholic Telegraph, and you can find his legal practice online at craycraftlaw.com. Ken, welcome back.
Thanks, Anna. Good to be with you again.
It is good to have you. And of course, as a pro-life community, we are dedicated to fostering a culture of life. The slogan for many years has been respect life. But you've written over at the Catholic Telegraph that this idea of respect life is a little too ambiguous. Why is that?
There are two problems with respect life or other general abstract moral terms. The first is that when we speak in abstractions, it's difficult for us to understand what those terms mean for us in the daily practices of our moral lives. In other words, Anna, our moral lives, yes, they're formed by rules and by obligations that we feel, and if we're Catholics, they're actually formed by the teaching of the Church. But the way that we actually live our moral lives, it's not according to rules, and it's not according to strictures and obligations. It's according to the habits and virtues and practices that inform our daily lives by the people around us, by the stories that we tell each other, and by the very concrete reality of living our lives and giving an account or describing why it is what we do, naming the reasons for our moral practices, any kind of abstract term, whether it be respect life or pro-life or so forth, doesn't really give us very much information about how we're to form our lives, how we're to form habits and practices that form the virtues so that we're the kind of people who do fill in the blank with a moral term. And the second part is, and this one gets really even more difficult, and that is we live in a moral culture in which sometimes political philosophers or moral philosophers, theologians, will talk about the incommensurability of moral communities and moral languages. And so when we use terms like respect life or pro-life or terms like dignity, for example, we can be talking to someone and using those terms, and both people will embrace those ideas with absolute fervor and commitment and be unwavering in their staunch support for those terms and words and those abstract phrases. And the two people will mean something entirely different by how they use those terms. And why is that? Well, that goes back to the first point. Because our moral lives are not formed by words and abstract phrases. They're formed by the concrete practices of our lives. And moral abstractions just don't help us to live our moral lives. And more importantly, they don't equip us very well to explain and to give an account for our moral lives.
Well, and this is why I've really come to embrace what the secular media likes to call us, which are anti-abortion activists. Of course, that's incomplete with, having a full sense of what the word pro-life means in its fullness, right? But at least it's more specific. People know where I stand on that issue.
I completely agree with that. And I tell my students that all the time. Don't call me pro-life. I don't even know what that means. Call me anti-abortion. If the issue is abortion, call me anti-abortion.
Yeah.
And one of the things that that does too, Anna, at least in an apologetic way, is it forces the other side to face the issue because, of course, they don't want to say that they're pro-abortion. They want to say that they're pro-choice. Well, pro-choice is the same as pro-life. I don't even know what that means. And I don't know what it means, and I'm not being cynical when I say that. Of course, I know that they mean pro-choosing abortion. But pro-choice itself as an abstract term simply doesn't have any meaning. And I'm not going to let somebody talk to me in a language that I can't even understand. So if the issue is abortion, I'm anti-abortion. That's to say, I'm opposed to abortion as a form of family planning or birth control. And they'll say, well, I'm not for abortion. But the simple question is, well, are you in favor of abortion as a means of family planning or birth control? And of course, the answer is going to be yes. Well, the word for is simply an English translation of the Latin word pro. So, but you hit the nail on the head, and that's exactly right. Using concrete, specific terms that have meaning that is derived from the communities that use them, that's the start in being able, A, to witness to what it is that we believe and that we're convicted of, and B, to be able to convince others of the propriety of our opinion. But even then, Annie, we have to understand that we have to be people whose lives consistently reflect the virtues that we espouse. And if we don't do that, then we're going to fail as well, because it isn't just explaining or arguing, it's also witnessing to our commitment to things like human life, the dignity of the human person, and so forth.
Absolutely, because ambiguity is going to work in favor of a culture of relativism, isn't it?
Absolutely it is, and that's one of the reasons that oftentimes the best way to try to win a moral argument is to obfuscate or to equivocate on the terms. And we don't see more equivocation and obfuscation and straw men arguments than in the abortion debate, for example, or even in the euthanasia debate. But here in January, when we're thinking about Roe v. Wade and we're thinking about problems related to abortion, there isn't any better example of the way that the other side equivocates and obfuscates the terms so that they can try to really cover up what's going on. And that includes even talking about what it is we're talking about, a separate individual human being with a separate set of DNA, separate and distinct from the mother. Those are the kinds of specific, concrete terms, not abstract terms, that pro-abortion people don't like to talk about because that personalizes the child. The one thing that they don't want to do is talk about killing another person.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Ken, I know you're a Bob Dylan fan. I think that puts it mildly, in fact. And in your piece at the Catholic Telegraph, you quote one of his songs where he says, "Dignity ain't never been photographed." I did not do a very good Bob Dylan impersonation there, but it's a great song, his song Dignity. But what does that mean? Dignity never been photographed?
Yeah, the whole lyric is, somebody showed me a picture and I just had to laugh. Dignity never been photographed. And the way I read that is it suggests what I've been saying, is that dignity as an abstract term really doesn't have anything to do with grabbing us in the concrete reality of our moral lives. We don't see dignity. Somebody showed me a picture and I just had to laugh. Dignity never been photographed. In other words, he didn't see dignity in the photograph. Presumably he saw either nothing or he saw a human person. That is the narrator of the song. And that's the way it is in our lives. We don't see dignity. We see the human person created by God to which dignity attaches. If we're committed to some kind of abstract notion of dignity, we're not committed to anything at all. What we're called to do is to be committed to the protection of the person to whom dignity attaches, to whom God gave dignity. And the dignity that God gave to that person is a person whose life only God can take because of that dignity. And moreover, when we think about human dignity, we have to think about dignity as intrinsic to that person. That is something that can't be separated from the person.
Yeah, we really do. Thank you so much, Ken Craycraft. Wish we had more time to unpack it. But in the meantime, you can find Ken's law practice online at craycraftlaw.com. Half past the hour now. It's time for news. After news broke yesterday of NBA great Kobe Bryant's death in a helicopter crash, Catholics on the West Coast have been telling stories of seeing him at Mass. Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna were among 9 people in the helicopter that crashed yesterday in Southern California. As word spread of the tragedy, Catholics on the West Coast began to share the times they had seen him at Sunday and daily Mass. An old interview with GQ has also surfaced in which Bryant credited a priest with helping him turn his life around and saving his marriage after he was accused of sexual assault. Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez and L.A. Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron, both in Rome today for their region's ad limina visit with the Pope, tweeted their condolences to the Bryant family. Archbishop Gomez said, quote, "I am praying for him and his family. May he rest in peace and may our Blessed Mother Mary bring comfort to his loved ones." Bishop Barron tweeted, quote, "We pray for the repose of his soul along with the others killed in the helicopter crash. May the Lord grant them his mercy and welcome them into his heavenly kingdom," end quote. Meanwhile, authorities in Los Angeles are still working to identify all the victims of that helicopter crash. More from Mark Mayfield.
Los Angeles County Medical Examiner Dr. Jonathan Lucas said it could be a while to fully recover the remains because of the rough terrain at the crash site.
Given the terrain and the condition of the site, we expect that this will probably take at least a couple, if not a few days, to complete the recovery.
Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter were among the 9 people on the helicopter when it went down near Calabasas, California. Bryant played 20 seasons with the Los Angeles Lakers and is widely regarded as one of the best to ever play the game. He was 41 years old. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
In Washington, President Trump's Senate impeachment trial resumes this afternoon. Trump's attorneys will continue the opening statements they started on Saturday. White House counsel Pat Cipollone argued that the president did absolutely nothing wrong and said Democratic House managers did not make a case for removing him from office. Meanwhile, the Democratic managers of the impeachment effort are again calling for John Bolton to testify after a new report on what he knows about the Ukraine scandal. The New York Times reported that in his upcoming book, the former national security advisor says President Trump told him that he'd continue to freeze military aid to Ukraine until they opened investigations against his rivals. During his Angelus address yesterday, Pope Francis prayed for all those affected by the coronavirus that has rapidly become a health emergency. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
I wish to be close to and to pray for the people who are sick because of the virus that has spread through China. The Pope was speaking to those gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus.
Il Signore accolga I defunti nella sua pace.
And he said, may the Lord welcome the dead into his peace, comfort families, and sustain the great commitment by the Chinese community that has already been put in place to combat the epidemic. China's National Health Commission on Sunday said the ability of the new coronavirus to spread is strengthening and infections could continue to rise. Nearly 2,000 people have been infected in China and 56 killed by the disease. A handful of cases have been reported outside China, including in Thailand, Australia, the United States and France, with health authorities around the world racing to prevent a pandemic. The newly identified coronavirus has created alarm because there are still many unknowns surrounding it, such as how dangerous it is and how easily it spreads between people. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And authorities are confirming that a fifth case of coronavirus has been found in the U.S. The patient is a student at Arizona State University but does not live on campus. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour.
Amazon has a new way to grocery shop. Purchase your groceries online and have them delivered for free within 2 hours.
If you're looking to use Amazon for groceries, don't forget those purchases can benefit the Sunrise Morning Show when you go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click our Amazon link.
Of course, any purchase you make after clicking that link will earn us a commission without costing you anything extra.
So, if you'd like to shop for tonight's dinner from the comfort of your couch, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
What does the church say about euthanasia? One meaning given to the word by its supporters is the intentional termination of life by another at the explicit request of the person who dies. That definition of euthanasia implies that the act must be initiated by the person who wishes to commit suicide. Yes, suicide. However, for many people, the definition of euthanasia includes both voluntary and involuntary termination of life. No one can justify taking the life of another, and no one can justify taking his own life. Those who support this atrocity call it mercy killing. Those who understand the value of life know there is no other word for it but murder. An elderly or infirmed relative might be seen by some as a burden on the entire family. But no one can choose to end that person's life. For more information, contact your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 2277, 2278, and 2324. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
It's 37 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Frank Donio from the Catholic Apostolate Center. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Anna.
We're continuing our series today on the Art of Accompaniment, a resource from the Catholic Apostolate Center. And we've been talking lately about the person who is being accompanied. So let's talk about that person's role in all of this. First off, this person is the protagonist of his or her story. What sort of things are implied when you call someone a protagonist?
Well, it's a word that in English sometimes has a negative connotation, whereas in the Romance languages, particularly in Italian and Spanish, it has a more positive one, in which it says that this person's taking charge of what it is that they're supposed to be doing, rather than waiting for someone else to say, oh, go ahead, you can have a relationship now with our Lord Jesus Christ. No, you have to be seeking it. And really, this is the person who is seeking to have this, in, you know, deepen their life in Christ, and that they're willing to do what needs to be done in order to do that. And so the one accompanied cultivates a readiness to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and is a seeker, is somebody who's actively seeking the Lord. And that's something that's really, really important in this process.
Right, that you can't just sit back and accept, if you will. I mean, that's part of it, but it doesn't end there.
No, to just sit there and say, Lord, make me holy, and then we do nothing. there is something we have to be cooperating with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit in particular, you know, God the Holy Spirit, in order to to be changed, and that's not something that we can just passively just sit by and wait to happen.
Absolutely. Now, the person being accompanied is also a disciple. Tell us about what that means.
Well, that's really a follower of Christ, somebody who recognizes that he is the master and we are the follower. He is the teacher. And it's not about us. It's about him, and that we are following him, but that he has chosen us to follow him, just like he called the apostles, just like he called his disciples to him. This is the same for us. And where does that happen? Well, it's happened in baptism. We might say, well, wait a minute, I didn't make that decision. Maybe someone else made that decision. Somewhere along the line, we had to make a decision that we were going to follow Christ in and through his church. Now, we might not have a very definitive one. A number of people have, in terms of, okay, I remember the day and the hour in which I did that. For a number of Catholics particularly, it's something that just is just part and parcel of who they are and who we are. And so, but at a certain point, we do need to make faith our own, and not just simply that which was passed on to us, because when, particularly when crises come, that's often when faith disappears, when we have not really made it our own in following Christ in and through his church.
Well, and I think in this resource, the operative sentence here, the important sentence, they act as a disciple by seeking to imitate Christ. Well, Father, that says to me that there's a lot of formation, a lot of molding or coaching that needs to be involved here.
Absolutely, and that really is part of the what the various people who are accompanying a person, including the community of faith, the overall community of faith, meaning the church, not only the local parish, but the church herself accompanies the person through our teachings, our tradition, through the Word of God, through the sacraments.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think about, they talk about the word coachable in here in this resource, you know, that if you look at it through a sports analogy, the praise that a coach will put on a player because he's so coachable, I mean, that is an important thing to be when you're trying to strive for greatness, which is exactly what this is. Now, why should the seeker also be a contemplative?
Well, the person needs to recognize that their lived experience, and to stop and to reflect and to recognize God's presence in what is going on in their lives. And so it to be open to the Holy Spirit and to see the Holy Spirit in situations, events, it says, and discern the sound of the voice of the Lord in relationships and people, and attune their vision to the life to which Christ calls them. And so it means patiently listening and listening for the Lord. And when we hear the Lord, well, speak, Lord. You know, as Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Absolutely. And I mean, the whole point of accompaniment here is to make this person, this seeker, the person being accompanied, an evangelizer him or herself to carry on the mission, correct?
Yes. They're formed for mission, to go out, to deepen, you know, they have deepened their faith in their life in Christ, their connection to their bond to the church, and then to go out to those where they are, in their family, in their workplace, in their school, in everyday life, wherever they may find themselves, even within the church community, helping their brothers and sisters growing in life in Christ in and through his church.
We've been talking to Father Frank Donio about the art of accompaniment. We've talked about mentors. We've talked about the seekers or those being accompanied. And I am looking forward to how to put all of that into practice when we talk the next time, Father. In the meantime, if listeners want to check out this entire resource, The Art of Accompaniment, how do they find it?
Just go to CatholicApostolateCenter.org/accompaniment.
And you can find that linked at sonrisemorningshow.com. Just click on the show notes for today. Coming up next on the Sunrise Morning Show, Bear Wozniak joins us to talk about standing up even when the numbers are small. We're going to be, well, celebrating, I'm not sure if that's the right word, commemorating the 2,500th anniversary of the Battle of Thermopylae, which is when the Spartans, the 300 Spartans, stood up against Xerxes. Bear wants to talk about that, plus Gideon coming up next. It's 16 till.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 844-51-BIBLE. That's 844-51-BIBLE. It's 844-51-BIBLE. 844-51-BIBLE.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated. 215-722-1000 and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
Amazon has a new way to grocery shop. Purchase your groceries online and have them delivered for free within 2 hours.
If you're looking to use Amazon for groceries, don't forget those purchases can benefit the Sunrise Morning Show when you go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click our Amazon link.
Of course, any purchase you make after clicking that link will earn us a commission without costing you anything extra.
So, if you'd like to shop for tonight's dinner from the comfort of your couch, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
13 minutes before the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
Prayers and remembrances have been pouring in since news broke yesterday that NBA legend Kobe Bryant and his daughter were among those killed in a helicopter crash in Southern California. The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump resumes today amid a new report about what John Bolton says he knows about President Trump and Ukraine. And Pope Francis yesterday celebrated Mass in St. Peter's Basilica for the first ever Sunday of the Word of God, inviting the faithful to make room in our lives for the Word of God.
All right. News at the top and the bottom of each hour every weekday morning on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're joined now by Bear Wozniak, and you can find him online at deepadventure.com. You can also catch his show, The Long Ride Home, on EWTN Television and The Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN Radio. Good morning, Bear.
Good morning, Matt. I missed you so much last Monday. It was terrible not getting to be with you.
Well, you know, this is our chance to kind of, you know, get into the man cave a little bit and talk a little bit about the kind of virtues that, well, let's be frank, we need to remind ourselves of on a Monday if we want to do what's natural to us, which is just go fake it through a Monday because we don't feel like being there. When it comes to examples of virtue and standing up, you know, in the face of adversity. I guess we have several examples, not just in the church, but also in secular culture and in Western history.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was 2,000 years ago this year that the 300 Spartans in Thermopylae.
2,500. Can you believe that? 2,500 years.
2,500 years ago? 2,500 years ago. Okay. I've been there to the place. I've been there where that battle took place. And I've also been, so there were the 300 Spartans, but there's also the 300 men that Gideon had. I've been there too, where they fought their battles. And that was, I think, over 3,000 years ago. So we have this history of these valiant men stepping into the breach as the Spartans did, and standing their ground as the men of Gideon did, and fighting the good fight. And I think so often we get the perspective that it's just me. There's not enough of us. The world is overwhelming us. There's it's us against the world, and we seem to be outnumbered. But we've always been a people that swims upstream. We've always gone against the flow. But we tend to look at our weakness instead of look at God's strength. You know, Gideon, they were under attack from the Midianites. They would come and rob them of their wheat during harvest time, and Gideon was hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, trying to avoid the Midianites, fearful. Then the angel of the Lord, which we know is a theophany, it was actually Jesus Christ. It was the Lord that appeared to him. And the words he spoke to Gideon were, valiant warrior, mighty warrior. These are the words that he called Gideon, mighty warrior. And here he is fearful, hiding in a wine press, threshing the wheat. And he challenged him to enter into battle. But so Gideon gathered an army of 22,000 men. They went down by this river. And the Lord said, no, that's too many men. That you guys will take credit for the victory. So anyone who's fearful or has a sick mom or dad at home, they can go home. And then he looked, and there were still too many men, and he said, well, bring them down to the river. Anybody who laps the water like a dog to drink, send them home. And those who scoop it with their hands and drink it, they can stay. And those that, when you lean down to drink water out of a fresh pond like that, you can't see anything but your own reflection. But when you pick up water and scoop it in the palm of your hand and you drink it out of your hand, you can be alert. You can be looking at the ridge lines. You can be aware of what's going on around you. And so if you're among the 300, and I think any devoted Catholic could kind of count ourselves amidst that, be valiant. Be ready. God, you and God are a majority. You and God can win, and God will. God will wants that remnant. He wants that strong, devoted people. He can do so much with strong, devoted people. So don't lose heart because you seem to be in the minority.
Well, let's think about that, Bear. Isn't that what's supposed to happen at every Mass? You know, you talk about the guys who bit down and just lapped up water like dogs from the creek, which, you know, I don't think that's very efficient anyway. But second of all, the idea of, nourishing yourself and getting sustenance for yourself, but always paying attention to what you've got to do out there when you get the nourishment. Isn't that what Mass is about? I mean, it brings its name from the sending of forth. We're there to receive communion. We're there to receive Jesus Christ, but we're not there to stay forever. Right? We're not there just to nourish ourselves. We're there to nourish ourselves and go out and sanctify the world.
And there's something about that, the wheat in the wine press. That's kind of a picture of the Mass also. You know, we have the wheat and we have the wine. And also remember when he made out a sacrifice for the Lord the next day after tearing down by the way, the altar to Baal, the Ashtoreth, the fertility statue. And they worshiped Baal, which was Baal. They had child sacrifice, and it was a fertility religion where they had temple prostitutes. So when he rebuilt the altar and on the rock he put meat and wine, it was consumed by fire that came out of the rock. And then when he went to go fight the Midianites, they had a dream in the middle of the night that a loaf of bread attacked them. And they lost. So that's it. That's the Eucharist. We get our power there at Mass, but we have to go forth. But don't lose heart because you seem to be in the minority. God can do so much. It's like a Navy SEAL team versus a huge army. God can do so much with devoted Catholics that are true to the sacramental life of the church and true to the doctrinal teaching of the church, and go forth.
Well, there's so much to be said about the various things that are going on here, but in the case of both Gideon and the Spartans at the Pass of Thermopylae, they didn't have to go looking for the fight. You know, we're not supposed to go out and just pick fights with people. That's not what this is about. We're not, you know, meant to go out and just find out who the, you know, who the people are in our workplace that are wrong and sit them down and tell them what's up. If we're paying attention, fight's going to come to us, you know? So a lot of this has to do with, have we prepared ourselves to withstand whatever is going to come at us today?
Yeah, you know, I wrote to the men in the man cave on Saturday morning. So what book are you reading now? And it was so cool how many of the men were reading really cool books. Like they were sharpening their swords. You know, they're preparing themselves for the battle. But the battle is already in your living room. You know, if you have a family, you know, praying for your family. I know my own home, I feel a need to bless it with water again. We got holy water and brought it home the other day to bless our home with water. We're fighting against principalities and powers. We're fighting against the television set. We're fighting against the peer pressure our children are under or what's going on in school. So the battle's already at hand. We don't have to go out looking for it, but we have to remember that it begins with praying the rosary. It begins with the spiritual battle, like you said, about going receiving the Eucharist. It's the battle is against the high places. The Ashtoreth stone, you know, it was always built on a high place. It's the battle's won up in the air. In fact, Baal is called the Lord of the air, right? The battle is up there. We have to begin with a spiritual fight, and then be ready. I love the pro-life marches. You know, that's the fight against Baal, child sacrifice, and all the stuff going wrong in the whole area of human sexuality, the fertility cult of Baal. I love the smiles and the love and the lack of angst, but the evident determination. And then you look at the women's march the week before, just full of anger. You know, we're going to win with love. We're going to win because we love people, and we just want them to hear the good news.
Yeah, and it's so important. And you're only able to share that good news if you have realize in your own life that it's good news, right? I mean, yeah. It's no good to share something that you haven't experienced. And again, this comes back to so many other things, including why we need to make confession a regular part of our lives. Because how are we supposed to go and convert the world if we're not regularly receiving the mercy of Jesus in that sacrament? There's so many things to this about armoring up, as it were. And I know there's even a men's conference in Indiana that you know, we promote heavily on this show that talks about, I mean, armor up is the whole theme of that. The idea of, are we preparing ourselves for the things that we're going to face today by relying on God in every aspect of our lives? Bear, we've got deepadventure.com linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, I love talking with you, Matt. Aloha.
Aloha to you. And aloha to all of you listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Glad you could spend an hour with us this morning. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. If you want to catch anything you missed or hear anything again, go to sunrisemorningshow.com. I'm Matt Swain. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.